Welcome to Global Talks by Paw of Life, a podcast about redefining healthcare through a global perspective, allowing you to become informed and involved. In each episode, we deliver the best hard-hitting analysis and discussion of what is currently impacting the healthcare landscape with guests from a variety of industries. Now, here's your host, Pavan Lohia.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Pavan Lohia. Today, I have the co-founders of COVIDwares, a loungewear company founded by Deepika Kasliwal, Ipsita Praharaj, and Ravina Varma. Welcome to the show, all of you. How are you all doing?
I'm good. Excited for today.
So excited. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So I'll start with you, Deepika. I wanted to know, can we get a little better idea of what COVIDwares is and how you all started this company?
Yeah, definitely. So COVIDwares is an e-commerce platform that sells loungewear and donates 100% of profits to COVID-19 relief. So what's our story? So Ravina, Ipsita, and I are best friends from college, and we all ended up in New York right before the pandemic. So we were roommates on the Upper West Side. So once the pandemic happened, Ravina and Ipsita went back to California and I went back to my home in Queens. And we were talking here and there about what to do with our lease. We were talking about what was going on in New York, the entire situation. And within those conversations, there would always be two things that would come up. First of all, how helpless hospitals were, and second of all, how hopeless people were. And the empathy that we felt for those two things really overcame us and also inspired us to kind of find the business solution that is COVIDwares, of selling loungewear, donating all the profits, and spreading positivity. So yeah, we felt privileged that we have safe homes to quarantine in, and our favorite city was in shambles. So this was our way of spreading our privilege. So with COVIDwares, create merchandise and embroider all of it with a silver cloud logo. And that silver logo that Ipsita has on her shirt, and we're demoing that today, but that silver cloud logo is meant to remind everyone that every cloud, even COVID-19, has a silver lining. So yeah, that's what we have here. And so far, we've donated about $25,000 to the Mount Sinai Health System in New York and in Florida. And this has helped the hospitals procure patient beds, ventilators, antibody testing, and so forth. And now we officially have our 501c3 status. So we'll go into that later. But yeah, we're really excited that just an idea and just empathy turned into something so beautiful and something that we could use to give back when our favorite city needed it most.
Of course. And just for our listeners who are not watching the video, their design that they're talking about, you can definitely find more information on their website, covid-wares.com. So be sure to check that out. And I wanted to ask you, Ravina, I know all of you actually have healthcare backgrounds, have studied some healthcare related fields. And Ravina, I believe you're going to medical school very shortly. What made you want to get involved in helping participate in COVID-19 relief?
Yeah, definitely. So as a second year medical student, I've always been very passionate about community health and improving the patient experience on the ground. So my background as a medical student, as well as a researcher at Mount Sinai Hospital, definitely played a huge role in starting this company. Initially, I was speaking with my PI back in about May of 2020, and she's an anesthesiologist, and she would tell me about the insane battle that her and her colleagues were facing at the time. So for example, like Dr. Pai would literally tell me that she had intubated like hundreds of patients every week, and there were literally just bodies piling up in the morgue in the hospital, and then eventually the makeshift morgue in the parking lot because they ran out of space for the bodies themselves in the hospital. So just seeing that and being involved in the COVID-19 antibody testing and vaccine development trials last year, I got to observe the very powerful and very persistent response of Mount Sinai's frontline healthcare workers. And from there, that really inspired me to want to co-found this platform and donate to Mount Sinai specifically.
Now that's amazing. And I've seen that obviously it's taken a lot of work, I'm sure, but how would you say you all came up with the designs, or what even made, why loungewear? Obviously, a lot of people did masks, other forms of PPE, whether it be gowns, people who are trying to help get ventilators. But obviously, loungewear is very big with other major companies playing a big part in this. So what made you all consider even loungewear as a go-to?
Yeah, so I can start this one off. So I think when we first talked about the idea, we went through a lot of options of types of merchandise to sell. And one thing we noticed was there was a huge increase in demand for loungewear out there because of, you know, people shifting from working in the office to working from home and quarantine. And even so, maybe our friends that were, you know, working would make comments about, oh, like my business clothes are, you know, not comfy enough. My PJs are too casual. Like, what do I wear at home when I work? So I think we saw that as an opportunity of, you know, our friends are trying to buy loungewear. Why not make this a donation effort and be able to allow them to get their work done and give back at the same time? So we really just tried to capitalize on that gap that we saw.
I'm taking it that this started off as more of a grassroots movement. And I know you all started off with a much smaller goal. What kind of kept wanting to move it forward? And then, I mean, now I'm sure you all have regular jobs throughout the day, but, and these things do take a long time. Just like myself, this is something I started just as out of a hobby, but quickly grew into something else. How did that kind of play out for all of you?
Yeah, I can sort of touch on this. So initially, as you mentioned, our goal was just to create sort of a movement that would help us donate. Our goal was initially $10,000, and that's it. That was kind of like what we thought we would kind of put a cap on at the end of the day. And the reason for that was because as we were sitting at home, we felt like so helpless that this helped us kind of provide directly in our own way by kind of closing a gap, as Ipsita mentioned. And so initially we started off with a 10K goal, but as we created the movement, Silver Linings Movement specifically, and as we created COVID Wears, we ourselves were blown away by how much people were willing to donate, not only monetarily, but even in terms of their time, in their efforts, in helping us market COVID Wears to redistribute the privilege and the money to communities more in need. And I think we were so surprised that within a matter of 3 months, we had in fact raised $27,000 and created a team of COVID Wears rather than just the three of us working together. And so from there, it kind of eventually grew larger and larger. And today we're now 501c3 as of recently. So it's been super.
That's a very big accomplishment, and congratulations to all of you. And speaking of the team, in fact, so since this has grown so quickly in such a short amount of time, and you all have respective backgrounds in various fields, how all have you decided to shift your responsibilities, or what roles do each of you play now and then, seeing that going forward as you want to grow your brand, where do you all envision yourself within COVID Wears? Start with Ivica.
Yeah, definitely. So my experience, I'm a senior consultant at IBM. So my experience has mainly been in business and in consulting. So for me, it's been really cool. In consulting, what we do is we make our clients' vision come through life through business, right? For me, it's been really cool to take that and use that in an entrepreneurial perspective and take an idea and be like, okay, this is an idea. How can we have a step-by-step plan? How can we use our resources? How can we make that come to life? And so for me, my role in COVID Wears has been on the business development side. We're like playing around with different business plans, playing around with even other businesses and collaborating with them to see how we can use both our missions to come together to then optimize profits and then optimize donations. That has been the most fun part of me, is like taking what I do at work in a more fun and creative way. So currently my role is business development, and I think I envision it to continue to be that and continue to adapt to current times and see how we can use that to optimize donations. Has been fun. And kind of to touch on what Ravina and Ipsita were talking about earlier in terms of loungewear versus like fashion stuff, it was really interesting also to see that when we started, actually mask fashion hadn't even come about yet. It was really only people that were buying loungewear because they were staying at home more, and in the summer it went into mask fashion, which then went into others later. So yeah, anyways, overall, the business development side has definitely been most fun for me and where I see myself growing within COVID Wears.
Speaking of business development, I do want to ask, though, given that there's so many issues for supply chains for major companies, businesses all over, not just the United States, but globally, have you had any issues for COVID Wears in producing your merchandise, sourcing it? Have you had any of those struggles, or do you anticipate those being an issue moving forward?
Yeah, I think we all have a lot to say about that, but definitely build upon what I say, Ravina and Ips. But our biggest struggle was with shipping, whether it be shipping for merchandise coming into where our printing company is located, and especially shipping out to our customers. And that was one of our biggest challenges for our team, because a lot of times we found with USPS and UPS, while we would drop off our stuff there, there would be a bunch of delays after. So that took us, I think, about like 3-4 months to navigate. I think we continue to navigate today, but I think for all of us, it was kind of part of the fun of it too, is like throughout problem solving for shipping delays, we definitely got much more beautiful ideas for like customer experience. We thought of creative ways to connect to our customers more. So that's kind of how we battled those shipping delay issues. But 100%, there were so many obstacles on that front to overcome.
Yeah. And Debbie's totally right. That was definitely one of our biggest challenges to navigate. But even going off that, you know, just like we were functioning this initiative during a highly sensitive time for a lot of people, during a very emotional time for a lot of people. So as the COVID-19 situation was evolving, I think we as an organization were constantly evolving as well. You know, like we started off with loungewear and this small goal that we had in mind. And then we saw a need for masks in the community. So we, you know, added on masks to our collection. We started with New York City because New York City was in such a bad state when we first launched this in May of 2020. And then we saw that New York kind of had gotten its bearings, but Florida was hit really badly. So, you know, we decided to expand our beneficiary pool to include Florida. All of these things. I remember during our operations at one point, the George Floyd protests were happening and people were really, really upset and troubled. And I think during the peak of the protests was when we had planned one of our launches for our collections. And like we as a group, I remember we all got together and was like, no, this is not the time. You know, like we need to give people a second to breathe and like come back to this. And we even changed our donation hospital to one that was in an area with a higher Black community population and a more underserved population. So I think not just like logistically, but this whole time we've been adapting to the environment and trying to represent the values we stand for in our organization. And that always takes a lot of intentional effort. And, you know, like you have to, things change and you just have to be adaptable and agile. I think I have a newfound appreciation for how agile a business has to be to survive after doing this.
It's definitely a constantly evolving situation. And I'm very happy that you all have been able to do so well throughout it. Ravina, I do want to ask you, as somebody, you and I have both worked at Mount Sinai Hospital and have seen how COVID has really impacted one of the nation's largest hospital systems. In terms of now COVID wares and how your experience not only working at Mount Sinai Hospital, but also just now as a medical student and your profession in general, how have you kind of gauged like where you want to see COVID wares go?
Yeah, definitely. So initially, our goal was specifically to focus on COVID relief because that's where we found the need was greatest. And one thing that we've realized is as time progresses, the need changes as well. So yeah, initially, like just to kind of walk through our donations, we started off in August donating about $27,000 to Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. And as time progressed, we realized that like Black communities had a much greater need. So we moved to a slightly smaller hospital, a little bit north, called Morningside Hospital, which was located in Harlem. So we donated there another $3,500 and then eventually moved to Florida, where we specifically donated towards the Camillus House, which is a homeless shelter that provides food, clothing, therapy services towards homeless populations in South Florida, along with Mount Sinai Hospital in Florida, where we donated another $3,500 as well as 500 masks. So currently, we've been donating towards COVID relief specifically in the United States. But as time progresses, we can see that the situation in the United States has definitely improved significantly with the vaccines. But overseas, COVID is definitely still a very real thing. Like just like Ips and I, we've both had like relatives within the last month pass away from COVID. And there's definitely still a huge need for COVID relief overseas. So I think that's specifically where we want to focus on, and specifically also focusing our efforts towards communities that are disproportionately affected by COVID-19, such as the elderly, the underserved, and even women in certain areas of the world.
Oh, no, that's remarkable. I'm sorry for all of any hardships you all have faced. I know many of our audience members and people I know personally also have been greatly affected. And yeah, exactly. Like you said, the situation well, we are reopening in many parts of the country. There's still parts of the world that are severely affected, like parts of South America, India obviously being one of the huge issues the past month in May of 2021. And even now, so much uncertainty, and especially with the vaccine hesitancy that's still around, not here in the United States as well as abroad. I guess obviously where you guys have named the company COVIDwares, but in terms of seeing it now moving forward, whether it's here in the United States or globally, are you just going to be focusing on COVID-related efforts, or how are you going to plan to shift your efforts for maybe other issues, or whether they're social justice issues or healthcare issues? Have you all thought about that or gotten any feedback from your consumers?
Yeah, so actually, this is something that is also still in the works, but as we begin to rebrand, one thing that we really wanted to focus on is specifically women's rights and serving thousands of girls in the world for in terms of their education and providing resources for women in that respect. So we're thinking about and working with an organization called She's the First, and that basically provides these resources to women in areas such as Thailand, India, Africa, and various
other. Oh, wow.
So it's kind of a work in progress still, but because we've had so much momentum and so much support, we've the most important and amazing thing for me is not necessarily seeing the monetary donations now. It's seeing that people are willing to donate their time to show up and to continue this movement. So we really want to capitalize on that and use that momentum to donate towards another social justice cause.
And just to add on to that, to Ravina's point, not just our beneficiary, I think when we first started this, this was something we hadn't really thought would be a long-term initiative and something that we'd keep going for so long, but we saw all that love and support around it, and we don't want to squash something that had so much momentum to do good and give back. So when we realized that this was something bigger than just this small grassroots effort and that we wanted this to stick around for longer, we also realized that we had to change our perspective to think more long-term rather than short-term. Right. So after our last collection dropped in winter, December of 2020, you know, since January, we've kind of been working on that strategy of like, what is our long-term vision? What is our long-term goal? We're really trying to build a strong foundation so that we can sustain ourselves. And so, yeah, that question you asked us is a lot of the stuff that we're discussing right now. It's like, you know, COVID-19 is here, but then maybe like later when it won't be an issue, like what comes next? So we're trying to like think with that long-term vision in mind now, and really like trying to, right now we're in the works of figuring all of that out.
Now, you all have had obviously a lot of growth since you all have started. It's crazy to think that COVID-19 was started off in 2019, and here we are more than halfway through 2021. There's a feeling of obviously things like Zoom exhaustion, pandemic exhaustion, all that going on. Any major things that you learned that in terms of even getting your loungewear out to people, what were some of the keys to that success, to even having this being recognized by the people who are helping donate or purchase your items? How did you kind of tackle that issue from the onset and even now?
I think with this question, we've within ourselves thought so much about it. But when we first started COVIDwares, there was kind of a sense of urgency of getting the donations out to the hospitals that need it. So that kind of forced us to have a sense of urgency within ourselves. And as you mentioned, we were in quarantine for so long, so we had so much time that we're not really used to having now. But because of that, we were kind of go, go, go. We would have a collection. We would design, produce, sell a full collection in about a month and a half span. And we went back to back to back with that all of 2020. And we found that while we really optimized our donations, we hit our like 25K last year. It really kind of took our toll on our team and in terms of burnout. And we kind of started losing that like initial motivation that we had, our why. So as Ipsita mentioned, we're rebuilding that foundation. So now with that long-term goal, we're now taking 2021 to remember the why, solidify the mission, and take our time, and also make this something that we can sustainably do in our regular lives with our day jobs, social lives, et cetera. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of how we're managing our time with our new collections. We're really trying to do more with the less time that we have and make it quality more than quantity this year.
And just for a lot of our listeners, are many just like the three of you are young professionals getting started, whether it's in their careers, finishing up their education. A lot of them do seek to have new opportunities just like this, starting a new business, you know, whether it's giving back to the community, helping their communities. Your success has obviously come with the help of social media and other tools, maybe your network. Would you have any advice for those who are seeking to do similar things, whether it be your struggles, how you overcame them, your successes, and how you got to them? Any advice on that for people who might be listening?
Yeah, actually, I think like a great question is like exactly what you asked is what made us so successful and what differentiates us as an NGO from other organizations. And right. I think one is something we didn't actually even realize is that the three of us have a very useful kind of dynamic in terms of you have someone, you know, working towards business school, someone in medical school, someone doing their master's in health admin. And so together we were able to sort of like holistically address that line between business, medicine, and then merge them together to create a brand. Right. So that was one part of it. But I think the most important lesson that we learned is that building a brand is really about creating a community that's united by emotions more than anything else. So with the Silver Linings movement that we had, in which we would encourage people to share like one positive picture and story about their day while wearing one of our clothing and post that on our Instagram, we use that to take people's shared emotions of grief and of confusion and of fear during quarantine and really right. unite them by instead having them focus on the positives despite all of this. And it makes people realize that, you know, despite all the crazy things going on around us, at the end of the day, we're all going through very similar experiences that we can shape by just being positive and by supporting one another and by providing help in any way that we can. So essentially, I would say like the best advice would be to uplift people and to unite people through common emotions. And that is the best way to create a brand, because ultimately that's what resonates with people. And that's what encourages people to donate their time and to donate their money. And we were also blown away by the social media responses and donations because of that reason.
I also have one more thing to add in terms of advice. As we mentioned, like that we got so much support that we never anticipated from people beyond our family and friends. But right. one of the coolest things that I saw, what united me, Rubina and Ipsita, was our passion and our empathy towards the current situation. But within our team, we have met people from all across the country that we have no connections to. Most of right. our team is just people that saw us on social media, somehow reached out and said that they wanted to help out. And when we actually met up with some of them last week or a couple weeks ago in New York, but when we met up, we realized that like we all have this like common innate desire to like just do good in whichever way our strengths allow us to. And that kind of unites like our team together as well. So I guess the point that I'm trying to get to is, I think for anyone that has an idea that's kind of in their head, I think believe that there's someone out there that also shares that, and many people out there that share that, that will find you, and like, you will find your way with this community that is the world, because it's crazy how these kinds of things bring everyone together.
So obviously, I mean, in a way, you all have been exposed to healthcare issue like COVID. We obviously have the social justice issues around Black Lives Matter, the George Floyd protests, all that. And I think now, obviously, all three of you come from a South Asian background. We've seen the Asian hate crimes rise in the United States, across the globe. Do you see that having an impact on areas that you might all focus on throughout your organization?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We have some people on our team that, you know, were affected by this and that have shared stories of really sad things that have happened to them in New York. So we're very aware of the issue and feel so bad about it. But I think one thing for us that we're realizing throughout this journey is that there is so much out there that we want to help with. Right. And there's so many things that we wish we could give back to. But at the end of the day, if you don't pick something and align by it, you're just like a scatterbrained mess and nothing actually gets done that's effective. So to answer your question, that's something we're trying to work on right now, is like aligning to something and trying to stick to that beneficiary or that vulnerable population for some time to make it impactful. But we do want to give ourselves flexibility. So the beneficiaries that we've been looking at, they tend to provide like a comprehensive range of services. So not just education, you know, like She's the First, Rovina mentioned, they're a great organization. They're global. So they're not just limited to the US. You know, they provide education services, job training, like sexual repro health services. So we're trying to look at a place that's comprehensive and holistic so that we have that flexibility of giving to different things that speak to us and stand out to us while also being aligned to something and not losing sight of our goal.
Of course. I know that's a very big struggle, especially as any business or any organization gets started, but just to kind of get some more information. So I think just in terms of your growth though, do you anticipate, say, obviously, whether it be partnerships with companies or maybe partnerships with local city governments or state governments, are those also things that are being considered as well?
Yeah, definitely. So actually last year, we already started kind of these partnerships. We all were involved in dance in college. So one of our first partnerships was with a dance organization. And we actually moved into our second partnership, which was with an actual skincare company, which was really cool. So that was amazing for us to do. And this year, we hope to continue that. But as we mentioned, we're trying to be very focused and intentional with everything that we do. So we're going to try to align our partnerships with people that share the same mission, more or less, as our beneficiary, as well as COVID Wears. So to answer your question, yes, we're definitely looking to continue those partnerships in whichever way we see best with our beneficiary.
No, I mean, it's great to hear. Obviously, I'm happy to have you on the show as young healthcare professionals making a difference in the space. And I think the hardest part in healthcare is that there's so much innovation, but it's so slow to reach the consumer, especially on the medical side. But all three have come together, created such a interesting and great dynamic. I'm really quite impressed. And I think just for a lot of people out there who might be curious to know how they could help and just be part of your team, do you have any upcoming projects or any issues that listeners or other members could get involved with?
Definitely. So currently, as Apsita mentioned, we're building our foundation for a sustainable long-term future. So with that, we have positions open on our website in all of the above, whether it be marketing, business development, product management, public relations, etc. So if you are interested, definitely take a look at our website if any of the positions work for you. But regardless, our team is just full of people that are passionate about social justice issues in general. So if you don't feel like you fit into any of those positions, just shoot us an email, send us a DM, and we are always open to talking to you to see how you can get involved. So that's one way. And another way is we currently have student ambassadors. So they're working within their universities to partner with organizations that we can create merchandise for and get donations through. So if you are a student, then definitely that is a part of an organization, definitely reach out to us as well, because we can definitely manage the merchandise for you and work together to donate. So those are a couple of ways. But aside from that, definitely give us a follow on Instagram, because any opportunities that we have, we post over there. I mean, that'll probably be the best way to get notified.
Of course, that's great to hear. And I do want to just, I'm actually curious personally. So in loungewear specifically, and obviously the clothing space, when you source these items and stuff, is there any focus on, I think, sustainability and where, how these items are produced?
Yes, definitely. So when we first started this, we used to source all of our items from wholesale websites. So we would order in bulk, and then our product management director, he owns a print shop out in Maryland. So we would source from wholesalers, and he would do the printing and designing, product testing, all of that. And we've been having this conversation about how to source more sustainably while also keeping our profit margins high enough so that our donations are still impactful. So right now on our team, our product management team is looking for more sustainable wholesale options, because if you just buy from sustainable shops, then there's no money left for us to donate, right, unfortunately. So we're trying to look for those sort of avenues. And like I had a chat with our product management director recently, and he was saying like, maybe some of the sourcing can even be from outside of the US, which helps a lot with those things. So we've been considering some of our options, but that sustainability piece is definitely in our brainstorm right now. And we're trying to incorporate it to the best of our abilities.
And also, obviously, when people look at you all and find ways of getting involved, it's not obviously just clothing. They can also just, whether it be obviously just donating to them, but can they also donate other resources to COVID Wares? Or have you come across that type of question in your experience so far?
Yeah, definitely. So because COVID Wares has such a broad mission, right, to serve underserved communities, we have essentially built this entire like community by literally reaching out to people and asking people if they could help us with, you know, whatever their specialty might be, whatever they might be able to provide. For example, even our coordinator who provides all the clothes and everything, he was literally just someone that we happened to know on a dance team. And we knew that he had provided some of their gear for their dance call. We reached out to him, and he's been amazing and super generous to donate his time as well as the resources to help us out there. So really, it can be anything, whether if you're very good with like social media marketing, if you have an excess of any product or clothing that you think we could sell and rebrand on our website, or even if you're just passionate and willing to donate your time to help us create some of those different products and whatnot. It's really just about you like reaching out and wanting to donate. And from there, we can definitely find a space for you on our team.
Then just to add on to that, outside of purchasing loungewear, we also have a lot of people that just donate to us as well, to our cause. Right. Like we have that option, that feature on our website. You can just go on and make a donation as well. So, you know, we know a lot of people that they're like, oh, I don't really need a hat right now, but this mission speaks to me, so I'd like to donate. And they end up donating funds.
That's wonderful. And honestly, I'm very glad we were all able to have this conversation, but you know, we can definitely continue on so many facets of where things are going to go and all the possibilities and so on and so forth. But I definitely want to give any of you a chance to say anything to listeners if I missed anything or we just didn't get to cover really quickly.
I don't have anything on my end. Just thank you so much. And if you're listening and you like our cause and you're inspired whatsoever, please reach out to us. We would love to talk to you. And also definitely check out our website. Our clothes are really comfy and they will not disappoint. So also going to throw in that plug. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm wearing mine right now. Very comfy. I wear it all the time at home.
I will.
No. Yes. But one thing I would like to say is that, you know, it is just me, Deepika, and Ravina on this Zoom call right now, but we have a team of 17, 18 people, and all of these people have day jobs or full-time day commitments and volunteer on the side for COVID Wear. Right. So we've been operating with them since last August, and we wouldn't have done everything that we've done until now without them. Our team is amazing. So also want to make sure to appreciate them and say thank you to them as well. They've made this happen for us for so long.
Yeah, I also just wanted to say thank you so much, Bhavan, for having us on your podcast. It has been an honor and it's been super fun. It's like the first time for me doing something like this, so it's been a good experience. And also, if you're out there listening, yeah, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. You can shoot us an email at covidwares@gmail.com or just go on our website and, you know, you can apply through there. Whatever it may be, like, we'd love to have you on our team if you're interested. And thank you so much for listening.
I just want to thank you again, all of you. Thank you to the COVID Wears team, and specifically my guests today, Deepika, Ravina, and Ipsita. If you want to learn more information about them, definitely check out the description in the podcast details, wherever you're listening or watching this right now. And I'll see you in the next one. Thank you.
Thanks for joining this episode of Global Talks by Pav Life with Pavan Lohia. Make sure to visit pavlife.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and read the Pav Life blog for perspectives and news on everything healthcare you simply can't get anywhere else. Share your thoughts on the show by rating the show and by connecting with us on social media. Thanks for tuning in. See you in the next episode.